Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. This is Daria, and I'm one of the hosts of the show, and I am here with Lisa Tarvez and Kristen Fetterman. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
we all seem to be recovering from a cold this week. I know I'm at the tail end of one. Lisa, you're still struggling with one, and Kristen, you seem to be healthy, so I hope you stay
so far,
that way.
But if I'm not in a couple days, we all know why.
She's going to blame me.
Well, it's definitely no fun, but I'm so glad. I mean, you know, last week I was the one that couldn't talk. I had a terrible sore throat. So I'm going to help out with tonight's show so we can preserve Lisa's voice for Just Believe on Sunday. We have a fabulous guest this week. I'm just really excited. We have author Barbara McNally, and we're going to go ahead and bring her on the line here in just a minute. But I want to go ahead. I want to read from the press release from her book entitled Unbridled. because it sounds really fascinating, and I cannot wait, ladies, to bring her on the line and have this discussion. So the title of the book is Unbridled. It's One Housewife's Journey to Independence, an honest and heartfelt memoir written to empower women and help them embrace their individuality and discover their potential. It was the finality of a broken marriage and the loss of her identity as the perfect wife that made Barbara McNally realize she had no idea who she truly was. But it was coming across a risque photograph of her spirited grandmother that inspired her to do something about it. Chronicling her escape from a self-made prison to joyful independence, McNally's candid memoir, Unbridled, shares her journey from confined predictability to empowered authenticity. Embarking on an exhilarating adventure of self-discovery, McNally invites readers along as she travels to the beauty of Ireland and communes with Wiccan priestesses, indulges in a romantic encounter at an ancient castle, finds herself at a clothing-optional hedonistic resort, revels with free-spirited Rastafarians, and takes the stage as a burlesque dancer. Exposing her own faults and lessons learned along the way, McNally makes no excuses as she shatters expectations, discovers her sensuality, and embraces her individuality on her road to freedom. Soulful and unpredictable, Unbridled inspires readers to live without regrets and find their own independence and freedom. Dedicated to empowering women to embrace their own potential, McNally established the Mother, Lover, Fighter, Sage Foundation to provide scholarships, workshops, and seminars to enhance the lives of women. The foundation highlights the four dimensions of herself that Barbara experienced on her journey: nurturing, sensual, assertive, and spiritual. All proceeds from Unbridled go toward the foundation to support its programs and projects. And then a little bit about the author. Barbara McNally lives in San Diego, where she supports organizations and activities that help women explore their potential for freedom and individuality. So we're going to find out more about Barbara here in just a moment, because let's welcome author Barbara McNally to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss.
Well, thank you, and I'm happy to be on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. My mantra for today is always believe that something wonderful is about to happen, so I'm happy to share with you I'm living unbridled, which means living out all our dimensions. Each one of us is a mother, a lover, a fighter, and a sage. These are our inner guides. So since we only have a short time together, I thought I'd dive right in. The mother's the nurturing, healing, empathetic side. The lover's the passionate, playful, sensual, creative side. The fighter's the assertive, goal-driven side of a woman. And the sage is the intuitive, spiritual, wise side of a woman. These are inner guides that my grandmother introduced to me, but they're also archetypes that have been around forever. So we can all identify with these aspects. But let me ask you this. Lots of times we think it's linear. So how old were you when you lived out your life as a mother? Do you feel like it's your 20s, 30s, and 40s, or do you feel like it? How and when were you characterized yourself in the role of a lover? Do you still feel like you have that in you? And what time in your life did you assert yourself as a fighter? Some of us are still looking to harness more of this, right? And when did you see yourself as a sage? Do you see that now, or do you feel like you won't have that until you're an older woman? So I wanted to know what you thought of these four, if you think of it as a linear way, or if you feel like all these dimensions can be living within you and expressed now.
Well, for me, I think life is sort of kind of happening all at the same time, so I don't necessarily see it as linear. Lisa, what do you think? Kristen?
I agree that it's, sorry, I'm trying, but I agree that it's, that I don't see it as linear, not that you can, that you have to embrace one of those parts of you at a time. I think you should be able to embrace them all at the same time.
I agree.
Kristen?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it wouldn't make sense if we only had to do one. We're supposed to be doing everything, right?
Well, and that's the thing, too, is don't be afraid. I'm not talking about being all things to all people all the time. And I'm not insisting or even encouraging you to strike a complete balance of all four on a regular basis. Just the thought of it's exhausting. What I'm interested in sharing with you today is how to recognize and act upon the areas of your life that will let you be you in your most loving and powerful form. And sometimes through my book, I felt like I was more compartmentalized, like I was either just being the mother or just being the lover, and it was my journey to integrate those four to live a more fulfilling life.
It's fascinating. Barbara, what do you think was the catalyst, I mean, you know, for leaving your marriage? I mean, how scary was that? Was that due?
Well, it was very scary, but why I wrote the book is because I lived a one-dimensional life, and I can't blame it on my ex-husband. Just like many of us have had relationships that we don't like who we are when we're with the person because of the person we become. And I came from a conservative Baptist background and married into a very domineering chauvinistic marriage, and I played that role and I succumbed to it instead of bringing the fighter out in the stage. And so now, you know, with my journey, yeah, it was scary to leave the marriage, and I left the marriage in a very destructive way. The lover part of me was compartmentalized. I was the perfect mother, the perfect wife, but I had resentments inside. The fighter didn't come out, and then I snuck a lover. So if I wasn't going to go to hell already, you know, it was a very compartmentalized life. And my journey has been to integrate those and live an honest life, living out all those, not ever letting the lover die, but bringing out the fighter in a healthy way. And I'm still a mother, even though my children have grown, and that's why I started the foundation. So I'm nurturing other women now. So this is my journey that I think other women can relate to, in that it's hard to keep it all. That's our life journey, right? To live all these out in positive ways.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So,
go ahead, Lisa.
I was just wondering, can I ask, like, what did you do after all of that was over? What did you experience?
Well, I found naked pictures of my grandmother, who was in her 80s, and she was a burlesque dancer in vaudeville, and I thought she lived an honest life. She was nurturing and fun and strong and independent. She danced with the flappers on Friday night and marched with the suffragists on Saturday morning, and she was a role model for me. Like, why don't I live such an open, honest life? And even though I'm in my 40s, the lover doesn't have to die. And she inspired me to go to my roots, which happened to be Ireland, and I encourage other women to go to find a role model for them, and if possible, go to their roots, which may not be Ireland, but Ireland is where I came from. And so that put me on the journey to find my independence, going back to my roots.
Barbara, did you have a favorite place while you were in Ireland? Because it's such a beautiful, I mean, I've never been there, but just from pictures I've seen, it's just such a magnificent country. I'm sure it's probably hard to pinpoint one, but were there places you visited that had a particular impact on you? Or?
Well, absolutely. And one reason why Ireland's a great place to go for a woman on her own is it's very safe and they speak English. So I felt very safe going there. Now, as a woman traveling on her own, if any of you out there haven't done that, it is, baby steps are great. Ireland I did, but you could maybe just go somewhere within your own state, just, or somewhere within your country where you might feel inspired. Everybody, it's what somebody loves and is inspired by. And I love the countryside. I love horseback riding, and I'm from Ireland. So when I got there, it was total freedom to just ride horses in the countryside. It is just a simpler life, and it really gave me time to get my head on right, I guess. So I don't know, where would you want to go if you could go anywhere on your own?
Me, myself, I'd love to just be able to do a road trip all around the United States and just hang out with locals and not go necessarily to the most popular. I mean, yes, to see the bigger cities, but I'd love to just go hang out in just places all over the country and just have the time to do that.
I encourage women, even if they can't. Some people ask me, they're like, well, we all can't take 2 weeks and go to Ireland. We don't have the money or the time. So what I encourage women to do is to just get out of their comfort zone in some way. So it could be, like you said, taking a weekend and taking a road trip. It could be being on a radio show, writing a book. Anything that gets us out of our comfort zone, we grow and learn, and that's when we can evolve. But it's overcoming our fear, or I say take our fear with us, to do something that we're not comfortable doing. Travel is one way to do that, but there are women who feel like they can't travel right now, so they can take risks in other ways of their life, even if it's not travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it's all about risk taking then? I mean, is that what keeps you alive, keeps you going?
Well, I like to use Malala of Pakistan as one example. I take inspirational women, and yes, she took a risk.
She's
an example. Malala of Pakistan, the 16-year-old girl who was shot by the Taliban, and she's almost won the Nobel Peace Prize this year, and she's one of the top 100 women of our year, most influential people of 2013. So to me, she's an example of a sage. She's got wisdom beyond her age of 16. She's a fighter, and she's a mother because she's nurturing other girls to get an education. So it is about risk. I'm not willing to take the risk that she did, but I admire her. So I think to live the life we want, I think we do have to take some risks, because otherwise we become victims and somebody else is writing the script for our life. And then we say, oh, we're in prison, but we put ourselves in prison, and then we're asking other people to free us. And only we can free ourselves from prison. And Malala is a great example right now. But on my foundation, I blog weekly about inspirational women that have taken risks, taken chances to live the life that they want to live. And even if we don't do it at their scale, if we just do it a little bit, then we're freer.
What do you think?
How do you feel about it?
I'm wondering what's the difference between, do you feel like risk-taking is for a woman, because we are such nurturers and we are taking care of so many more people than just ourselves. So what's the difference between risk-taking and being selfish?
Well, that's a good point. If it's destructive, then it's selfish. Obviously, what Malala's doing is not destructive.
Right, right,
right. When I had an affair, which I admitted at the beginning of the book, that was a very destructive way to live out the lover. So there's destructive ways to live out the lover, mother, fighter, sage. The lover is we're just cheating on our and being a slut and catching diseases. That's not a very productive way to live out the lover. Whereas dancing, expressing our passions, that's a positive way. And then the fighter, if we're rude to people, we're a bitch, right? But we can be strong and assertive and be a fighter. So there are negative ways to live out all these. The sage is our inner wisdom, I say to some people. It is their spiritual walk. To some people, it's a religion. But a negative sage would be somebody who's a know-it-all, you know, and we don't like to be around someone like that. And that's one thing I think that people enjoy about my book, is I do admit my mistakes. And I'm on this journey. I don't have all the answers, but that is, when we take risks, we do make mistakes, and hopefully we learn from them and learn to live out these dimensions in positive ways that are constructive and helpful to other people. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a big part of it, though, is, like, regardless of what you do, especially as a woman, you're always being judged, and somebody is always going to have something negative to say about you. And I think it's hard to separate that from what is actually right and what people think about what you've done. Does that make any sense?
That's a very good point. My grandmother used to say 10% will applaud you, 10% will condemn you, and the rest won't give a damn because they're living their own life. So that does take a certain amount of self-confidence, and I would call that the sage. Yes, at first, you know, I wanted to live my life for everybody else, please everybody, and then I ended up getting resentful and sneaking things like a child. So
yeah,
it does take some self-confidence to say, and I think that's the sage that's calling in our inner wisdom. We know in our gut when something's right and something we want to do, but sometimes we ignore our gut and we go along with the crowd so everybody likes us. And that's where we, as women, need to listen to our inner wisdom, or, you know, have support groups like you're offering on your radio show. There's lots of ways that we can get feedback to see if we're living out our dimensions in positive ways and not just succumb to peer pressure.
Yeah. Does that
make sense?
Yeah.
Barbara, I'm curious. I want to ask you about the writing of your book. As somebody who self-published a book that was kind of based on a lot of real life experiences, in your case, how difficult was that in terms of putting yourself out there? And what was it hard for you to do? We're talking about doing what's healthy and not necessarily worrying about what other people think. But was it difficult given that family members were going to read it or people that were close to you?
Yes, I think the hardest part of sharing my story is my vulnerability, admitting I mostly trash myself in the book, even though because I didn't live in a vacuum, my family is part of my background, and my children and my husband, but it's mostly trashing myself. And that being so vulnerable has actually opened up my life that now I can connect to other people. Nobody wants to be around somebody who's perfect and arrogant. And I can now, by my sharing my story, other people open up to me about their story, and that's what the human connection is all about, is helping each other along the way, right? So I think, writing a story truthfully about ourselves is very vulnerable, and that's part of being human, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Barbara, so in terms of how long did it take you to write your book, and the process for getting a publisher. I mean, how did that all play out for you?
Well, it actually did take 5 years. I think the first 2 years were therapeutic. That's why I now teach journaling classes. I would call it more journaling the first couple of years, getting our thoughts out there, working through things, which is very therapeutic. And then I decided that I wanted to write a book that was entertaining and express my passionate side. I love the arts, and I love to write. So my book really reads like a novel. It's just a fun, entertaining read where I'm mostly laughing at myself and trashing myself on my journey and my stumbles. But the other way it's different than any other memoirs is at the end there's a call to action, in that I started a foundation to help other women either write their stories or I also have events like Spa Day for the Wives of Wounded Warriors where women can just get together and enjoy being a woman and just relish in it without guilt. So there's one other difference in my memoir. The end does not have a Prince Charming. I saved myself. I'm happy with myself and with many soulmates. I don't fall into another relationship and get remarried. Now, I'm not suggesting other women need to do that, but I think it is an inspiration that not everybody, we don't always need a man. First, we need to love ourselves and be independent and enjoy life. And if a partner comes along, great. But I see so many women who feel like they're not happy unless they have a man in their life. And my book's an example that we could be happy without getting remarried. I have many men friends, and I have a very full life without a Prince Charming.
I was actually hoping that you could talk a little bit about your trip to Jamaica and what inspired that and what came out of that.
Well, I actually went to Jamaica because I came home after being condemned for getting a divorce, and my parents, after 50 years, got a divorce. And I thought, what is this whole marriage thing about? Their whole marriage was a lie, and I do expose their hypocrisy only because I was held so highly, so under such scrutiny. So I went to Jamaica and explored as a hedonistic resort, and instead of just falling into that, a synchrodestiny happened that my cab broke down at a Jamaican orphanage, and there I worked with girls that had no choice. Their choices were prostitution or join a nunnery because they had no education to support themselves. So from that, working at the orphanage, I decided to come home and help other women gain independence. And that's why Malala of Pakistan is a huge inspiration for me and other women, that because with an education, we can live out the mother, lover, fighter stage. And live out our sexuality honestly.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to be a victim like these girls that they had no choice of prostitution. But I'm also liberated that if a woman wants to be sexual, that just like a man, if she takes precautions and does it honestly, that's okay. And that's kind of a double standard in our life, where men will be men and women are sluts. but it's women taking control of their life and us calling the shots, not somebody else calling the shots. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to pick up and go to Jamaica for a little while.
Yes, and Jamaica is a wonderful, beautiful country, and if you can't get to Jamaica, then I'm sure there's beaches close by, a day at the beach or a day at the park or even a day out at a disco just to kind of find our wild side and see just as long as we're getting out of our comfort zone to explore life and enjoy life. That's the lover within us.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm in South Florida right now, but it's so cold. I mean, I live in South Florida, but I hate to complain because I know Lisa and Kristen are up north, but it's pretty cold here. But I definitely, you know, I haven't been in the, it's so true though, Barbara, what you're saying, because I find, because I'm always in front of a computer working for clients or for myself, and just taking even an hour just to drive, just to even see the beach, even if I don't actually sit there, but just drive by it. Or you know, just to do something that simple can be really just so energizing.
Yeah.
And we have to ask ourselves, like, if we want to live our best life, we have to know what that is. And what does that look like for you? What is your place in this world? And then where does your mother role play out besides with your children? How is the lover rejuvenated? What does your version of the fighter mean to your relationships, your career, your self-perception? What simple steps can you take to activate and benefit from the sage in you? Helping others gives me a tremendous sense of satisfaction, and I realize that when I'm giving, I feel most alive, and that's why I have the foundation to help other women. But for all of us, it's individual what turns us on, you know, what excites us in life. And I guess I'm giving, by giving myself permission to live out these faces, I'm giving other people permission. Like you said, you feel guilty if you're not nurturing all the time. You feel guilty if your lover comes out, or you feel guilty if you're assertive. And I don't want women to feel bad about being themselves.
Yeah. Barbara, where has this journey taken you? You know, since the book was published, and tell us, how has your life changed?
Oh, well, meeting interesting people like you, great conversations, great connections, and now instead of the book, I'm focusing more on the foundation and events to help other girls grow, because my girls are in their 20s, so they are not needing me as much as they did when they were young. So I'm enjoying nurturing other women in any ways I can, and if you go to my website at www.unbridledfreedom.com, you can see the events that are coming up. And if you want to help a woman, you could sponsor a woman for spa day for the Wives of Wounded Warriors by donating, or any proceeds from my book go there. Or maybe you want to start your own foundation. But some women, you know, don't want to go through the process of starting a foundation, so they'd rather just buy the book and make a donation. But some people, maybe I'll inspire people, whatever their cause they're interested in, that they'll, you know, stand up and, as Gandhi says, be the change they want to see in the world. That's where my life's taking me now.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Lisa, did you have anybody else, anything to add?
I'm actually, you know, I have so many things to say, as I always do, but I can't really say them because my voice is annoying me, so I can only imagine what it's doing to all the people listening. But, What are the takeaways that you have from the book you wrote and telling your story, and how are you hoping your foundation is going to touch other women, and your book, both things?
Well, I think most people who read my book say, "Wow, Barbara, you inspire me to take risks. You inspire me to live the life I want to live, even if don't take the same risks as you or bigger risks." It does inspire women to take risks. The other thing that take away from the book and the foundation is helping, because to take responsibility for our lives. And, you know, I was the prisoner. I held the key. And it was only me who could change myself. I couldn't change what my husband was like. I couldn't change the way I was raised. I could only change myself. And the truth in life is we can only change ourselves. We can't change other people. And even though I was raised a certain way, I was able to change that and be more open-minded. And even though I was in a subordinate relationship, even though I couldn't change how he interacted with me, I could change how I interact now in future relationships so that I'm not dominated. I'm an equal partner now in any relationships that I have. And so I think through the book, maybe, I don't know if there's a time when you can look in your life and you could say, oh, you really dislike somebody, but maybe it was because the way you allowed that person to treat you. Can you think of something like that that maybe you want to share with your audience? And now, instead of hating that person, we just hated the way we were in that relationship. So going forward, we're not hating. We've learned from it, so we feel good about ourselves in relationships now instead of feeling bad about ourselves. Is there something you want to share with the audience of your past that you've learned and now you can have a better relationship because you've learned to set boundaries or you've learned more about yourself?
Well, for me, I mean, there's been so many things. You know, I'm married to my second husband, and, you know, just going through the motions of a first marriage where I had children and had a situation where, you know, I had to draw my lines. I had to decide what my lines were and things that, you know, not being a doormat for someone. You know, there are so many different things that I could talk about if I could talk. But you know, I mean, there's so many different avenues there that you could go down when you think about your past and the mistakes you've made and the things that you would do differently. But bottom line is, you know, there's like from my first marriage came two incredible kids, you know, that are now 19 and 20 years old, and I wouldn't change that for anything. You know, so I can definitely and have been able to use my experiences of my first marriage to help other people, you know, to help other women, to maybe open their eyes a little bit wider than I had mine opened at the time.
Right, and now you're able to set boundaries and you're willing to take responsibility for your actions. Like, I didn't mean to, we don't have to shoulder the blame for everything that's gone wrong. Nor are we obligated to carry the load, you know, forever, but realizing, too, some of our flaws in our relationships and learning to love ourselves and, you know, forgive ourselves. And for me, whenever my fear, laziness, or self-doubt keep me from being all I can be, I remind myself that my jail is only in my mind, and I hold the key to my freedom. So that means for any goals I set, as well as relationships, it sounds like you're setting a different tone in this marriage for your relationship so you don't fall into being taken advantage of, or I don't know what you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think my first marriage made me a lot stronger as a woman, as a person, as a human being, and I hope that I pass that on to my daughter, and I hope that I pass it on to my friends. And to the people that know me, is that like you were saying earlier when we first started, I didn't leave my marriage expecting to get married right away again. I got married again because I happened to meet a great person who was a great stepdad to my kids and a great husband to me, and that's why we got married. It wasn't because I needed to be married that I needed a man in my life. You know, I knew I could do it on my own, and I went straight from my parents' house to my husband's house, so it was like, you know, there was that direct transfer. I had never lived on my own, so living on my own was such a huge thing. Even though I had children, knowing that I could take care of myself financially and in all ways was a big was huge for my ego. It was huge for my growth as a person.
And that just sharing that is an inspiration to women, because I, the same as you, went from my father's house to my husband's, and even though I had a college degree in physical therapy, when it was time to have kids, there was pressure for me to stop work, which gave up all my independence, It was my last tight independence was work. And I never lived on my own or had financial independence to know how, and I mean, some marriages do work, you know, from the get-go like that, but it is difficult if women like myself get married never being on our own. You know, I had no self-confidence that I could make it on my own. Mm-hmm. And you're a proof that you could make it on your own, and that is scary. I agree. If we never lived on our own, it's scary when we step out. And my relationship was more of a father-daughter relationship. He made all the rules, and the same, he who brings home the paycheck makes the rules. I really didn't have no voice, and maybe that's one reason why I have such a big voice now, a book, a foundation, because there was a time in my life I had no voice, and that was my own making. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
So I'm proud of you for, you know, moving on to find your independence.
Thank you,
and
yeah.
You're lucky to have a partner in life. That's a great hope for many women.
Yeah, it wasn't, I was very young. I was in my early 30s when I got divorced, and like 31, I think I was. And I, you know, I'm 32 maybe, and I certainly left the door open, but it wasn't something that I was, you know, for sure wanting to do. It was going to depend on, you know, I guess I got to a point where I decided that if the person added something to my life, then that was one thing, that I wanted to be with them, but I didn't want to be with somebody just for the sake of having somebody there or having somebody take care of me. I wanted to be able to do that all on my own, and financially, I had always been able to take care of myself. It was the financially, and then separating the financial part from, you know, just being, having the guts, I guess, to do it, you know, to get out there and do it. Now, Daria, you've lived on your own, I mean, pretty much since you've been an adult. I mean, you've been on your own. So for you, it was different. I mean, you never got married yet.
Yes, and I would like to.
Yeah.
And there's someone in my life now who's really wonderful, long distance for now. But yeah, and there's actually an interesting story attached to that, which was really the catalyst for my book, was that I had been in a relationship with someone that I met up in the Northeast, you know, when I lived in Pennsylvania. We met at the Jersey Shore, kind of unexpectedly, one of those things. And just to make a long story short, sometime later he moved to Florida. I didn't know it at first. You know, he kind of stood me up for a date we had. And then a few months later he called me up and said, you know, I moved to Florida and, you know, I really miss you. I really love you. And it's great down here. And you should come down here because, you know, I was a ballroom dancer. I still am, but I used to teach ballroom dancing. And he said, you know, that's so much bigger here than, and, you know, and so he was really talking it up. And for a whole year, I just, you know, I delayed and delayed because I was still in my comfort zone. I mean, I grew up in a great, I mean, I had a wonderful family experience. Thank God, you know, my parents are still here, and I grew up with always being told I could do whatever, you know, career-wise, do whatever I want. So I'm very fortunate in that way. But at the same time, I kind of started to think, you know, maybe it's time for me to figure out, you know, like Lisa, like you were saying, and Barbara, you know, figure out if I could really kind of reestablish myself someplace where no one else really knew me. And a good thing I had that attitude, because when I got here, when I finally did that, and it was really hard because it was hard for my parents, it was hard for me. And I'm the baby of the family. But when I got here, I found out that his quote-unquote platonic roommate was actually his fiance. And so I was absolutely devastated, but I also at the same time became so angry. But looking back, I wish I had let myself grieve about it first, because later on I paid the price for that. But I looked at it as I got angry and I thought, well, why should he get to live in this beautiful state and not me? I'm just going to make it work without him. And so because of that experience, I look at him now, his purpose in my life, and I'm sorry about the phone ringing, his purpose in my life as being that catalyst. I mean, I didn't really see it necessarily at the time because I thought I was going to move there and we were going to, you know, get engaged and get married and I was going to be married and living in Florida. But, you know, it was only with time that I was able to look back on that and understand that his purpose in my life really had a higher, you know, higher meaning.
Wow, that's really positive and profound, because I love the saying that everyone comes into our life for a season and a reason, and everybody who comes into our life is a teacher, and some of the lessons we learn aren't the ones we expected, but that is a really great example. So, and I love that you're a dancer. I'm a ballroom dancer, too. I've done a little bit of burlesque, but that's a really positive way to show out our lover side and our feminine side. I think every girl wants to be feminine. Sometimes we don't feel very feminine, but dancing is one way that makes us feel that feminine side, and I think that's so cool. You're a ballroom dancer, and people think, you know, you're either a fighter, like, you know, very militant, strong, you know, not like Hillary Clinton with a suit, or you're a dancer, and sometimes dancers aren't taken seriously, but I think it's a great balance, because you have the lover and you have the fighter, because you're goal-directed, so it is possible to live out all our dimensions. I'm impressed you're a dancer. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I haven't taught in a long time. I haven't really danced in a while, but, you know, Barbara, you're inspiring me to really get back into it, because I do, I miss it, and it's something about dancing, you're right, it satisfies the soul, and it's good exercise, too. I mean, that's sort of a nice bonus to it. You don't realize it because you're having a great time, but it is also really good for you physically. So.
Right, and, you know, now another great role model is Beyonce, you know, and she says the most important person in her life is her, and I was like, oh, my God, she says that without guilt, and yet she is very giving, but she does put herself first, and she's a great role model for women. You know, she's strong, independent, and she is a dancer. But so I think you're an inspiration to women in that way, too. And I appreciate you sharing your story. Because people think, oh, you know, when we don't hear stories, we think everybody else's life is perfect except ours. And you know, we find out, wow, that happened to you. Well, you know, it gives women inspiration that they can make it through tough times.
Definitely. I think it's, you know, and I love hearing all these stories. And that's one of the things I love most about hosting this show, is because I'm so inspired every week by the guests that we bring on. And it's just so much fun to just discover other people and learn from their experiences.
A wise therapist said this quote, "The strength of the relationship is based on the degree of shared reality rather than the position of wife, mother, sister, or daughter." So, in your relationship, it sounds like now both of you are in a relationship where you're valued for who you are, not necessarily your role, and it sounds like you have a great degree of shared reality. Do you want to share any of that with your audience?
Sure. Lisa has the voice. Do you want to go first, or do you want to take a break? Or
You better go. I'm getting it's getting a little worse.
Okay. Well, you know, this relationship I'm in is a little bit unique because it's long distance. We did meet over the summer and spend some time together. But, you know, I will say there's a lot of benefit to that, too, because you really spend a lot of time getting to know each other, you know, as people, and understanding whether or not you share kind of the same values, and you're on the same page with a lot of things. And I've been able to, you know, support him through different things that he's gone through, and he's done the same for me. And even though it's long distance, we talk every day, and now you have things like FaceTime and new technology that makes it so much easier. And, I don't know how to explain it specifically, but it's just so nice when you finally connect with somebody, and, you know, it's taken me my whole life, that you just have this comfort level with, who at the same time is challenging, and interesting, and, you know, stimulating intellectually, but also funny and warm and loving and all of those things. So, Barbara, I just want to speak to something you were saying earlier about not liking the person you become in other relationships. I mean, I've been in so many relationships like that, and, you know, where I knew the other person wasn't good for me for whatever reason, and just yet chose to hang in there, and, you know, I try not to regret anything, because, you know, I think you're right, and I think that's a waste of time, and there's an expression that says something about, you know, you regret more the things that you did not do versus the things you did. But if I could do something different, I think I would have sort of cut ties sooner than I did with some of these relationships for that reason. I just didn't like who I was becoming. But now, it's such a difference, and so... And it's funny because this guy, and I don't believe in coincidences, but he kind of came into my life very unexpectedly. I mean, I think it's also by design, but it's just kind of interesting. And it'll be, gosh, next month it'll be a year that we actually started communicating. And the funny thing was, we were following each other on Twitter for like 3 years before we actually got to that point. So kind of funny.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, it sounds like you're finding your voice, because I agree. You know, in the past I say, you know, I realized people were doing the best they could at the time, and I accept that it is me who allowed these things to happen. It's not the other person's fault. So I don't say that from a position of redirecting blame, imposing guilt, or reinforcing regret. Instead, I like to help women find their voice moving forward. And it sounds like you're finding your voice moving forward. You're finding out what excites you, what do you love, who do you idolize, and it's either to share, you know, mutually with your the person you're with, and the relationship's going to work.
Yeah. And it's really nice not to have, it's so nice, it's invaluable, I can't even express how nice this is, to be able to be myself and not have to feel like I have my guard up all the time about everything. So that's another benefit.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, another you asked about Jamaica. Another thing I learned in Jamaica was from a taxi driver, a Jamaican Rastafarian. He says, don't be afraid to embrace your divinity and don't be less than you are. Celebrate the sacred. Don't waste time being small. And I laugh. This is a taxi driver. So we can learn from just so many people in life to really be all that we can be. And here was a taxi driver telling me to not settle and to go for it and don't waste my time being small. And that inspired me to reach for potential. And for you, you know, you didn't settle in a relationship. Now you're in a relationship with somebody who values who you are. And it's an honest relationship versus a dishonest one from the past. And so it's inspiring that we can reach these heights if we don't settle.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So, Barbara, where can everybody find you? I know you gave out your website, but why don't you go ahead and do that again for our listeners, and including any social media that you might be on as well.
Well, I have a Facebook page called Live Unbridled, Barbara McNally. I have a website which connects to everything. It's www.unbridledfreedom.com. And if you go to the webpage, you can purchase the book there, or it shows links to other places you could purchase it, bookstores, Amazon, etc. There's blogs on there which are all on subjects that we talked about today and events coming up. So any information you want, you can get from www.unbridledfreedom.com.
Fantastic. Kristen, do you want to ask anything else, or on behalf of Lisa?
No, I think we're good over here. I think she's kind of out of
words. I'm pretty petered out now. My voice
Lisa
is gone.
Beatless? Oh, my goodness.
I know.
This is going to be a great day.
Let me leave you with these words from Coco Chanel. She says, you can be gorgeous at 30, charming at 40, and irresistible for the rest of your life. So even though you're feeling down in the dumps today, just know that you're going to feel better, and you are irresistible. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciated talking with you, girls.
Thank you, Barbara. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, great. I'll be following you, too, and I hope to be on your show again. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Awesome.
All right, everybody, and that was the wonderful Barbara McNally. please check her out, visit her website, like her on Facebook. And I just want to remind everyone before we sign off tonight that the RightStream Radio Network features several wonderful, unique programs. I believe we are up to 5 out of 7 broadcast days now. The next show coming up will be Just Believe with Lisa Tarvez this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully Lisa will have her voice back, and more importantly, will be feeling much better, because I know how that goes. I'm just kind of wrapping up myself, finally starting to feel like myself after having a cold for what feels like an eternity. But tune into Just Believe with Lisa Tarvez this coming Sunday and every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then on Military Monday,
author, historian, journalist, game designer, John D. Gresham, hosts Military Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, with a focus, obviously, on all things pertaining to the military, including historical events, battles, wars, anything having to do with the military, whether we're talking about current events or things in the past. John always brings on interesting guests. So if you're a history buff especially, please tune in every Monday for Military Monday with John D. Gresham. RightStream Tuesday is the show that I host every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, where I put the spotlight or shine the spotlight on a different author each week. This coming week, coming Tuesday, January 21st, I will be welcoming author Kent Clisby, who is a member of the CIA and the intelligence community, and we're going to be talking about Kent's book, Willing Accomplices, and he is just a fascinating speaker. Author, and he's just going to be a phenomenal guest. I interviewed him on a previous show a couple of months ago and was just very entertaining and enlightening. So please tune in to this week's RightStream Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And then on Wednesday nights on the RightStream Radio Network, we have Family Power Hour at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that is hosted by licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Billy Eisenberg and family law attorney Sheena Benjamin Wise. And the purpose of Family Power Hour is to create a safe forum for people to call in and share their stories about how they've been able to overcome various life challenges. Now, every week, Dr. Billy and Sheena bring on a guest who is an expert in a particular field. So whether we're talking about something as serious as teen suicide, cyberbullying, and human trafficking, to more lighthearted topics like dating after 50 or, you know, how to find a job. Last week, their guest was the wonderful Penny Morey, who is a human resources professional and a business owner. And she is also a career counselor, and she provides staffing for pretty high-profile people in and around South Florida. And so they had a discussion about, you know, how to get a different job or how to get a job, particularly in a difficult economy. But every week, Family Power Hour delves into a different aspect of the human experience in an effort to inform, entertain, and give listeners an opportunity to share their experiences, help other people, and to get the support they need for whatever they might be going through. And then, of course, on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, we broadcast Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Lisa Tarvez, her daughter, Kristen Fetterman, and me. And we're doing our best to bring you fun and interesting guests every week, and you know, hats off to Lisa because she has really taken the lead on this program, and I'm just really happy to have her on board, and Kristen, and just really appreciate the efforts of all of our hosts on the RightStream Radio Network. You can find out more about all of us at rightstreamradio.com, and when you go to that website, you'll find links to all of our social networks, but we are RightStream Radio Network on Facebook, at RightStream on Twitter. You can also follow hashtag RightStream for all of our updates. And you can also find Family Power Hour's Facebook page and Metaphysical Healing by Lisa Tarvez, her Facebook page. It's one of her Facebook pages. But you can find information about all of our hosts there and find us on all of our social media platforms. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this week's Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with author Barbara McNally. I hope you will join us again next week. Again, tune in to Just Believe on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I know Lisa's going to have another wonderful guest in the areas of either health and wellness, paranormal, or spirituality. Not sure if she's got live psychic readings or what's going on this week, but tune in because I know it's going to be good. All right, everybody, until then, keep rejoicing in the flow of creativity, and we'll see you back here for Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss next Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern.